Hello and welcome to the Journey Across the Universe podcast. I am your host and tour guide, Brendan Beddoes, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about stars. Now, we have all seen stars, right? They are the most prominent things in our night sky, and you could honestly spend hours just staring up at the sky and looking at them. But how much do we really know about stars? Today, that is the question that we ask and answer in our next stop in our journey across the universe. First things first, let's talk about how stars are formed. Every star comes from clouds of dust and gas in the universe, right? So, what happens is you have these massive clouds of dust and gas, and because of the gravitational force, these clumps of gas and dust start to combine together and they start collapsing in on themselves. These huge clouds start collapsing into a little clump, and that clump is what we like to call a protostar. That essentially means that it's on its way to becoming a star, but it's not quite there. So we start off with this little clump of dust and gas. And as it collapses onto itself, and there's more and more gravity pushing on it, it becomes more and more hot and more dense. So this is a process that usually takes about 100,000 to a million years, where the protostar is just getting hotter and hotter and denser until it starts the process of fusion. When a protostar reaches the temperature of about 1 million degrees Celsius, which is about 1.8-ish, is the process of two molecules. In this case, it's going to be hydrogen molecules. So when two molecules are actually fused together, because in molecular structure and in molecular forces, there are repelling forces, right? When you put two hydrogen molecules together, they're going to want to repel. They're not going to want to go together. They're not going to want to be pushed together, right? But when you heat these molecules up to that high of temperature, these molecules will actually fuse together, creating helium, a brand new element. And that is where all of the heat and light comes from with stars. So once it reaches that kind of 1 million degrees Celsius threshold, it starts the process of fusion, where at its core, all of that gas from that cloud that we talked about earlier, all of that gas starts fusing together. And because of the way that fusion works, a very small amount of mass, molecular mass, creates a massive amount of energy. So at the core, it's burning up all of this hydrogen and converting it into helium, right? It's fusing those hydrogen molecules together and you're getting helium. And all of that light and energy and heat from that is pushed outward from the star. And that is why they're so bright, they're so hot, and they kind of look like a ball of fire, because it's kind of what's happening. A star is just one perpetual explosion. And so that is pretty much the basic process when it comes to formation, right? They start in a cloud, that cloud condenses, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then the process of fusion begins. So once it becomes a star, it actually goes through some life cycles, and that is what we'll be talking about next. Next, let's talk about the life cycle of a star. So we just talked about how stars are formed. That's called the protostar main sequence star. So that is kind of the typical star, right? Because that is what we know of. So there's also another kind of main sequence star. They're called red dwarfs, and they're very similar to main sequence, but they're smaller, they're a lot cooler in temperature, and because they're smaller and don't burn as hot, they're actually able to last a lot longer. And you'll notice it's called a red dwarf. There's actually three different kinds of stars when it comes to like size. There are dwarf stars, giant stars, and supergiant stars. That one's pretty self-explanatory. Dwarf stars are the smallest. Then you go to giant stars and then supergiant stars. And that is only when it's in this main sequence, right? There are other different kinds of variations, but that is different stages that we'll talk about later. But yeah, main sequence stars are just stars that are in the fusion process, fusing hydrogen into helium. And that is kind of the main process there. When they're in main sequence, they enter something called hydrostatic equilibrium. Now, I know that's kind of a big and scary word, but it's actually not too hard of a concept to understand. What it's saying is that, you know, the word equilibrium means it's equal, right? You see that equal in the word equilibrium. So that is saying that the force going into the star is exactly the same as the force going out of the star. That's that hydrostatic equilibrium. So the gravity that's pushing in onto the star because of how big it is, that force is the same as the energy and force being emitted from the star because of the fusion. So the fusion is actually equaling the gravitational force, and that's why stars are able to be in this equilibrium, and that's actually why stars are in a spherical type shape, because of that equilibrium that it maintains. So the next stage in a star's life is typically the red giant stage. This is when there's no more hydrogen in the core to fuse. So it kind of runs out of fuel. But there's still that outer layer. You have the core of the star, but then there's also outer layers of each star. And those outer layers have hydrogen and other elements. So when the core runs out of energy, those outer layers ignite and they start burning. But this process causes these stars to grow to really, really big sizes, hence the name red giant. And so it also causes the star to go red and cooler because it's bigger and it's kind of running out of fuel at this point. It's a dying star is what a red giant is. And so the outer layer ignites, it starts getting really big. And then as that outer layer starts burning off and going down and down and down back to the core, we get to what is called a white dwarf star. A white dwarf is, in harsh terms, the corpse of a star. It is a dead star. It is a star that has completely run out of all hydrogen to fuse. It's completely out of fuel and eventually just cools down until it's about the same temperature as the background temperature for the universe. Stage, which we mentioned, and there's also another stage that's kind of in between the protostar and the next stage, but that one's not super important. We'll just skip right past that one. And then we arrive to the most important stage, which is called main sequence. Main sequence stars are doing exactly what we talked about in the first segment, talking about hydrogen fusion. As long as a star is fusing hydrogen, converting it into helium, it is considered what is called a main sequence star. These are your typical stars that you think of. Our sun is. So this takes a really long time. There are some white dwarfs in the universe that we know of, but for a star to get down to the white dwarf stage and then to cool down completely takes billions to trillions of years. So we actually have never seen or know of any stars that have even gotten to that point yet. But we do know of some white dwarfs who have just completely run out of fuel and they're in the process of just cooling all the way down. So that is what I like to call the peaceful process of a star's life, right? This is usually what happens to our smaller to intermediate sized stars. This is probably the same kind of process that will happen to our own sun in about 5 billion or so years. But when you get bigger than that, things change. Once you get a star that's about 1.5 times 3 times the mass of our own sun, then the process isn't quite as peaceful. This process is a lot more violent. What happens is that when it starts running out of fuel, because it's so massive from the outside, from the gravitational pull, and so because of that, the core goes supernova. Now, that's a super cool word, I know, but it really just means when a really big star dies, it just explodes into a massive explosion that sends shock waves throughout the entire universe. And so these explosions typically leave nothing but the core of that star. Now, the core that's left after a supernova is typically called a neutron star. Now, it's called a neutron star because after all of that heat and pressure of the collapse of the star and then the following supernova, all of the protons and electrons and all of the elemental molecules have just fused together to create only neutrons. So this star is now just consists of only neutrons, and that's why it's called a neutron star. Neutron stars are usually about only 12 miles across, which is really, really small, but they're incredibly massive. We talked about neutron stars a little bit in our first episode about black holes, and we talked about how they have an incredibly small area, but a huge mass, making them extremely dense and very heavy. So that's what happens when a star about 1.5 to 3 times the size of our sun starts to die. But once you get more than 3 times the size of our sun, a very similar process happens, but it's on a much larger scale. This is what happens when those supergiant stars start dying. So when those supergiant stars start dying, these can be sometimes thousands of times as big as our sun. Then, like that same process we described before, the pressure by gravity and the external pressure is outweighing the interior pressure, and so it just collapses on itself, creating a huge amount of pressure, and the heat skyrockets. And so it also goes supernova, but because it's so big, we actually call it a hypernova. And it is just like a supernova, but much bigger on a much larger scale. And so these star explosions are just absolutely huge. They, again, like supernovas, they send shockwaves throughout the entire universe. But instead of going down to a neutron star, there's not really any known substance or any known force that can support the amount of gravity that is left after this hypernova. So it just goes into a black hole. If you want more information about black holes, go ahead and go back to our first episode to The Journey Across the Universe, and you will find our very first episode was all about black holes, and we talk about the formation and other things like that. But yeah, a supergiant star, when it dies and goes hypernova, can actually collapse into a black hole. So that is the basic and the more violent version. And so now that we kind of know how they're formed and kind of their life, let's talk about some of their characteristics. All stars have certain characteristics that we measure and are able to figure out in order to kind of group these stars together. The first one is brightness. Now, brightness is found or figured out by using these two things, magnitude and luminosity. Magnitude usually is in reference to how big does it look in from Earth, or how close is it to Earth? So if it's closer to Earth, it's going to be brighter. If it's farther away, then it is going to be more dim. Also, luminosity usually comes from just the amount of light coming off of the star. And so that usually goes back to how big the star is and how much of a temperature, that what the surface temperature is. The next characteristic is color. These stars can actually burn at different colors. We talked about the red giant before, and these different colors usually depend on the surface temperature. So they can range from more of a reddish to sometimes more yellow, and then even all the way to blue. And again, it's just based on the surface temperature of the actual star. Speaking of surface temperature, that is the next characteristics that we look at when it comes to stars. Surface temperature usually depends on mass and, of course, the fusion that happens within the core. And surface temperature is measured in Kelvin. Now, if you're not familiar with Kelvin, it's just another way of measuring temperature, just like Fahrenheit or Celsius. But Kelvin is typically more scientific. It's the standard in the scientific community when it comes to temperature, and that is just because it is more on a molecular level. It's kind of measuring how fast the molecules are moving, and so when you're looking at zero Kelvin, that's actually something called absolute zero, which is when the molecules aren't moving at all, which is actually impossible to our current knowledge. We haven't been able to do that yet. But yeah, Kelvin is just another way to measure temperature and is the standard in the scientific community. And the surface temperature on these stars can be pretty astounding. They can be as high as, say, 50,000 to 60,000 degrees Celsius. The next characteristic that we're going to look at is size. When we look at the size of different stars, we typically measure them versus what they are to our sun. So we measure them against our own sun's radius. So if we had a star, if we discovered a star that was 2 times the size as our own sun, we would say that that star is 2 solar radii. Radii being the plural form of radius. And so that's just saying that it is 2 times the radius of our own sun. And that is very similar to the next characteristic of mass. How we measure mass is by comparing it to our own sun. I may have mentioned this earlier in the video, but we typically measure other stars by how many solar masses they have. If you remember back in the last segment, talking about the stars that become neutron stars at the end of their life, they have to be about 1.5 to 3 solar masses for that to happen. So that's kind of the standard when it comes to measuring mass. And also another characteristic that these stars have is that most stars actually have a magnetic field. These magnetic fields can be very similar to what we have on Earth and the other planets. And they can actually be responsible for some, like, the sunspots and certain flares. And yeah, so those are the characteristics that the vast majority of stars have, and that what we kind of measure to see what different kinds of stars there are and what we're working with. So now that we've gone over characteristics and formation and life cycle, it's time to get to our fun facts. It is now time for my all-time favorite segment that we do on this show, and it is fun facts. So I'm going to share with you some of my favorite fun facts that I came across while doing the research for this episode, and I hope that you love them just as much as I do. The first one is that Red stars are the coolest stars, and blue stars are the hottest. This one was interesting to me. It may be just common sense to others, but it was interesting to me because I think a lot of times in just pop culture, media, just standard daily living, we usually associate red with hot and blue with cold. If you think about it, usually fire and other things are usually more hot, and then like ice and the more polar regions are more blue. And so it was very interesting to me to learn that when stars are more red, that actually means that they're cooler. Like we talked about red dwarfs earlier in the episode, red dwarfs are actually the coolest kind of star. And I'm not saying they're the coolest like, oh, that's so cool. I'm saying they're the coolest like they have the lowest temperature. But when you go to blue stars, stars that are more blue slash white, whitish blue, those are the stars that are actually the hottest, have the highest surface temperature. The next fun fact is that stars don't actually twinkle. I know a lot of people think that they do, and there's even a song, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but the thing is that stars don't actually twinkle. The reason that they have the appearance of twinkling is that their light, as it passes through Earth's atmosphere, it gets distorted a little bit. It's kind of like light particles bouncing around in a pinball machine. So when we see the light particles, the light come through the atmosphere, it makes it look like it is twinkling, but stars don't actually twinkle. If you look up and you see a star that doesn't appear to be twinkling, that might actually be a planet. Planets don't twinkle, but do kind of look like stars. They don't have the appearance of that twinkling because they're a lot closer to us, and so we're able to see them kind of as little disks in the sky rather than these twinkling stars. And another fun fact is that when you look up at the sky, when you see those stars, you're not actually seeing them as they are. You're seeing what they looked like in the past. So we hear a lot in the science community that we measure distance in light years. A light year is how far light travels in 1 year. It's a pretty common measurement in space. So if a star, for example, were one light year away, then when you look up in the sky, that star that you're seeing is actually what it looked like 1 year ago. Now, they don't change super often because we've talked about how these life cycles for stars are typically millions to billions of years. So we don't really see many changes throughout our lifetime, but it's very possible that most of the stars that you see in the night sky are actually already dead or in a different phase of their life cycle. The next fun fact is just the sheer number of stars in the universe. I looked up the actual number, and it said that there are at least, the most conservative estimate of stars in the universe is at least 10 billion trillion. Now, that is a huge number. 10 billion trillion stars is something that our brains can't even really comprehend. To put that in perspective, that is 22 zeros. So that is a one with 22 zeros behind it. That is the number of stars in our universe, which is just so cool and so incredible to me that there are that many in our observable universe. And last but certainly not least, my favorite fun fact, maybe my favorite fun fact that we've done on this show, is I found that because of the chemical composition of our sun, scientists were actually able to figure out that if you could taste the dust from where our sun came from, so you remember those clouds of dust and gas, scientists say that if you could taste that dust, then it would actually taste like raspberries. I don't quite know where this conclusion came from. I don't know the science behind it, but I'm going to go ahead and say, why not? Why wouldn't the cloud that our sun came from taste like raspberries? I think it's super funny and super interesting, and something that you can use at your next party to start a conversation or get a few weird looks. That is all I have for you for this episode of Journey Across the Universe. I hope that you now have a deeper understanding of stars, and I hope that when you walk outside tonight and you look up at the stars, you'll have a little bit more of an appreciation for them, and you'll have that greater knowledge and be able to say, hey, I know what that is, or I know what that star is doing. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and that's it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Journey Across the Universe podcast. If you liked it, please leave a positive review. I'd really appreciate it, and it really helps the show to grow. Another way to support is to tell all of your friends and family about this marvelous adventure that we have embarked on. We are always welcoming new passengers. Follow our Instagram account at Journey Across the Universe for updates on the show and to know when the next episode will drop. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you next time on Journey Across the Universe.